Galaxy S8 Plus Review, The Future of Android is Now, by Michael Simon in PC World. With a stunning 6.2-inch screen and a brilliantly compact design, the Galaxy S8 Plus isn't just a new flagship from Samsung, it's the best phone anyone has ever made. Updated on May 31st, 2017. You can now buy a fully unlocked Galaxy S8 and S8 Plus from Best Buy stores, BestBuy.com, and Samsung.com, as well as through carrier stores. Samsung has finally beat Apple at its own game. While the Galaxy S has been regarded for years as the best Android phone money can buy, at least until the Pixel came around, it's always existed in the iPhone's lengthy shadow. Even with a higher market share, a dominant OS, and a years-long lead on features like screen size and water resistance, the Galaxy S has stayed out of the reach of the iPhone zeitgeist, no matter how much it tried to create its own end-to-end experience. Apple fans saw it as a copycat, and Android enthusiasts lamented its aggressive TouchWiz interface overhaul. All that has changed with the Galaxy S8 Plus, with a stunning design that absolutely needs to be seen in a harmonious integration between hardware and OS. The Galaxy S8 Plus is the first phone in a long while that truly changes the conversation and resets our expectations. It might be a touch hyperbolic to compare it to the original iPhone, but it's hard to deny that the S8 Plus is a watershed moment for modern smartphones, despite the tragic and confounding placement of the fingerprint sensor. After years of barely distinguishable rectangles jammed with features of dubious usefulness, Samsung has brought something entirely new to the table. And when the iPhone 8 comes out in September, people might not look at it quite so admiringly. Most of what you read here also applies to the smaller Galaxy S8, which we reviewed here. Impossible dream. If I didn't know better, I would have thought Samsung sent me the wrong phone. The S8 Plus doesn't look or feel anywhere near as big as it is, with a screen that makes other phablets seem small by comparison, despite a much smaller frame. Even after using it for several days, it's still hard to believe that the S8 Plus has a 6.2-inch display. At 159.5 millimeters tall, it practically defies logic. Consider this. It's smaller than an HTC U Ultra and only a few millimeters taller than a Galaxy S7 Edge, Pixel XL, and the LG G6, but it somehow adds a full half-inch of screen, and in the case of the Pixel and S7, nearly three-quarters of an inch. It's like holding an optical illusion. And the Infinity Display, as Samsung is calling it, is an absolute pleasure to behold. The curved edges rest gracefully in your hand, and whether you're using one hand or both, its natural contours and glass and metal craftsmanship give it a smooth feel without it being too cumbersome or slippery, which is good because it's practically a crime to put it in a case. Slim is in. Unlike some other slim bezel smartphones, the Galaxy S8 Plus is blissfully symmetrical, with perfectly proportioned slivers of bezel above and below the screen, but where the S7 was available in white, silver, and gold, the S8 Plus only comes with a black front plate, a move meant to seemingly put even greater emphasis on the screen. Every phone I've ever owned has a black frame, so I'm on board with the decision. But some are sure to grumble about the silver and gray-backed versions having black bezels on the front. I think such a small area of color at the top and bottom of the screen would have been distracting. The only quibble I have with the design is the same one I have with other Galaxy phones, the placement of the charging port. Where the speaker and the headphone jack are centered at the bottom edge of the device, the new USB-C port is just a touch too low, otherwise ruining the perfect equilibrium. For a phone that pays such a fastidious attention to its design, it's a head-scratcher. Samsung has sculpted a real work of art with the Galaxy S8 Plus. Features that would grab headlines on earlier phones, like the IP68 water resistance and wireless charging, are practically an afterthought, and its competitors, including Apple, are going to have their work cut out for them. And the fact that Samsung was able to do all this without removing the 3.5-millimeter headphone jack makes Apple's courageous decision seem all the more outlandish. As if you have to drive that point home, Samsung has bundled a pair of AKG wired earbuds, which are far and away the best-sounding earphones I have gotten inside the box. I'm no audiophile, but the bass, balance, and volume of these things are top-notch, rivaling the sound I get from my Powerbeat S3. Fingerprint fumble. With an 83% screen-to-body ratio, Samsung didn't leave much room of the Galaxy S8 Plus for much of anything else. Aside from the sensors, the front of the device has no distinguishable markings, and that includes the Samsung logo. However, even without its name emblazoned below the display, the S8 Plus is unmistakable, easily as identifiable as an iPhone 7. For the first time, Samsung is also doing away with the physical home button and the back/recent buttons. Hardly an innovation in Android land, but new territory for the Galaxy phones. And it kind of shows. While the pressure-sensitive virtual on-screen home button is a winner, the fingerprint button is in the worst possible place. Surely you've seen images of its location to the right of the camera, but it's even more awkward than the pictures would have you believe. It took me longer to set up a single fingerprint than it does for multiple ones on other phones. A left-handed colleague actually had a slightly easier time, but I consistently missed the target when trying to use it. At times when I needed to use the fingerprint sensor for apps like Mint or 1Password, it took me several tries, sometimes to the point where it would have been quicker just to type in my password. However, on the off chance that I hit it on the first try, it worked extremely quickly. Thankfully, or perhaps consequently, Samsung has provided multiple ways to unlock the S8 Plus. In addition to the standard passcode and password options, there's a face and iris unlocking, both of which are quick, but require you to stare at the front-facing cameras above the screen. The iris scanner is particularly impressive as well as being far more secure. It worked flawlessly nearly every time, even when I was wearing glasses. The only time I had difficulty was in direct sunlight when the infrared sensor struggled to lock onto my irises until I took my glasses off. I quickly learned how to position my phone so my eyes would unlock it as quickly as possible, but I had a harder time adjusting to the face scanner. All in all, I would still prefer using my fingerprint. I also would have liked the ability to tap on an area other than the virtual home button to wake the screen. But even so, the new unlocking methods are a nice upgrade for the S8 Plus. Just keep in mind that face recognition could be spoofed by a picture, as Samsung warns. So iris scanning is your best bet here, unless you happen to have fingers like Elastigirl. Pure pixels. As good as the design is when the screen is off, it's only accentuated when it comes to life. Even if you've previously used an Edge phone, the S8 Plus still feels like something entirely new. With edges that seamlessly bend into the frame and corners that dip elegantly out of view, it's hard to do it justice with words. But I'll say this, it makes all other phones, including the similarly svelte LG G6, look positively dull. By making it a standard feature, Samsung has essentially taken the Edge screen out of beta mode, and it's absolutely ready for its close-up. Even when purposely holding one of the sides, it didn't register a single extraneous touch, and the Edge-specific features only launch when deliberately activated. The panels offer the same customizable access to your favorite apps and contacts, and there are several new ones installed by default. I particularly like the clipboard one to keep track of all the screenshots I took. Edge feeds are nowhere to be found in the settings or the Galaxy App Store, so it appears that Samsung has thought better of the ticker's usefulness. However, the notification lights remain. Samsung has stuck with a 2K screen for the S8 Plus. However, while it has a slightly higher pixel count, 2960 versus 2560, due to its new 18:5:9 aspect ratio, It's hard to imagine a 4K display adding anything more than a tax on the battery, even when using the default FDH Plus resolution, 2220 by 1080. The screen is crisp, bright, and stunningly vibrant, especially when watching movies in full screen. And since the S8 Plus offers the first display to carry the new Mobile HDR Premium certification, once Netflix and Amazon wrap up their mobile apps, it will easily be the first handheld movie player you can buy. Consolidation of power. The Galaxy S8 Plus may be pretty on the outside, but on the inside, it's all business. It's the first phone to be powered by the 10-nanometer Snapdragon 835, and the gains it delivers over the S7 are certainly palpable. But that's measuring it against a year-old chip, so noticeable gains are to be expected. The upgrade is less obvious when comparing it to the newer 821 phones like the Pixel and the LG G6. To the untrained and unbenchmarkable eye, the S8 Plus could just as easily have an 821 chip inside it, as the real-world differences between the two are fairly inconsiderable. The S8 Plus feels just as snappy and smooth as other 821 phones, and I didn't experience any of the dreaded and oft-reported Samsung lag. Benchmarks bear this out, with a measurable but not massive increase over Qualcomm's predecessor. That being said, the 835 is the first chip I've tested that's in the same league as Huawei's in-house Kirin 960, and it even held its own against Apple's latest silicon. Samsung reportedly worked closely with Qualcomm on the design of the chip, and the optimization benefits can clearly be seen. Until Samsung can refine the performance of its Exynos chips for U.S. networks, this is the next best thing. All day pass. The real blow-away improvements in the S8 Plus can be seen with battery life. After the Note 7 debacle, Samsung has promised to put every phone it sells through a strenuous 8-point battery check, but that doesn't mean it crammed a giant battery into the S8 Plus. There's actually a smaller 3500 mAh battery here, compared to the 3600 mAh one in the S7 Edge. But Samsung has taken advantage of the 835's power efficiency improvements, along with likely improved efficiency of its AMOLED displays, to squeeze out as much battery life as possible. Benchmark testing consistently showed around 9 hours, and my day-to-day experience matched up, easily getting through a full day of moderate to heavy use. The Galaxy S8 Plus was still ticking hours after the G6 and Pixel would have needed a charge. Our battery benchmarks calibrate the display to 200 nits, with adaptive brightness turned off, but cellular and Wi-Fi turned on, and the phone turned in some impressive scores. Along with the benefits begotten by the 835 chip, Samsung has also souped up its OS to get every last drop from the battery. For one, the default resolution is only 2220 by 1080 FHD+. And Samsung actually warns about the possible increased battery drain when raising it up to WQXD+. Android enthusiasts will scoff at this, but the visible difference between the two resolutions is negligible outside of the higher-end gaming and VR. Even when I switched WQHD+ on for a full day, I didn't notice the kind of enormous battery hit that would preclude you from using it. Samsung has also tweaked the brightness slider to add a red zone to indicate the very high levels that seriously impact battery life. Again, hardcore users will grouse about such a warning, but I'd much rather Samsung give us the option than simply cripple the display. Besides, full brightness is almost too much to bear, so most users will be plenty comfortable keeping the levels well below the danger zone. Head over to the settings, you'll find a pair of battery-saving modes that will stretch your usage even further. Both will let you customize how your phone will save battery, offering toggles for brightness, resolution, and chip speed. It's a definite improvement over Google's all-or-nothing method, and with the right tweaks, you can add several hours without degrading the experience too much. Battery warriors will be bummed to see the multi-day ultra setting ditched in favor of a less intensive max mode, but you'll at least be able to triple your battery life in exchange for some serious limitations on the apps you can use.